Hello, my name is Valentina Castro, and today in this podcast, we will be talking about how technology affects communities. The title of this podcast is Co-immune Society. Why is this? It's a mixture of communication, codependency, communities, and technology, and how the majority are immune to social contact and engaging, plus to creating real moments and memories. Being immune to something is, according to the dictionary, protected or exempt, especially from an obligation or the effects of something. To say, which means mostly how technology is affecting us, but not only us individually, but communities also. And this can be seen both in a negative and a positive way. It is crucial to keep in mind throughout this podcast that the main argument is how technology is affecting communities, both positive and negative. Main word being both. Not mostly negative over positive, and not mostly positive over negative. It's right in the middle. One must notice, especially nowadays, technology and human life cannot be separated. Society, like I said before, has a codependence on technology. We use technology, depend on technology in our daily life, and also our needs and demands for technology just keep on rising. Technology creates disconnection in communication. Hitting the main point of focus on real-life friends and interactions has diminished and focus on internet friends has skyrocketed in the sense that we don't really care how many friends we have face-to-face. If we just have one, we're content with that. As long as you have over 500 followers on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter, then you're fine. In Facebook Friendonomics, Scott Brown addresses this issue. How does he address this? He brings up the topic of how he has noticed that he's lost the right to lose touch. He doesn't delete anyone who follows him. He addresses himself in the problem. He says it isn't fair that keeping friends requires almost no effort at all for him and for everyone else. It means I didn't talk to you since elementary, but we're still friends in Instagram. So I might like your picture once in a while. I'm going to comment, say you look beautiful, but meanwhile, I'll see you in Publix and I'll say hi to you. In his article, he says that we squirrel away friends the way our grandparents used to save nickels, obsessively, desperately, as if we'll run out of them someday. And it's true. We always have the need to follow this person, hoping they're going to follow you, liking and commenting, because, oh, everyone else is doing it, and I have to be nice to this girl, even if I don't like her, even if she's done something mean. Why? Because the more friends I have, the cooler I am. And this shouldn't be this way. Because of the fact that a friend face-to-face, a real-life friend, not just on social media, will benefit you in the long run way more than it's going to benefit you now, present day. What, 4 years in high school, 3 years in middle school? It's not worth it. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said before, there's a positive and there's a negative. The positive to this is that for some people, interactions face-to-face, being more social in person, it comes harder than interacting through social media. And through social media, they find a safe place and friends who become lifelong, who might not even be necessarily living in the same area as yours. You get this connection with someone who you've never really met, but they're not living through what you're living now, but they understand you in no way that anyone else has understood you. With people who you go day to day, with your parents, they understand you better. And you wouldn't trade this for anything in the world. This friendship that you've made, this lifelong friendship, why give that up? That's the positive side to this, and how you can see it in both positive and negative. Something that can be easily pinpointed about technology is how much more chaos it adds in our life. In Where I Lived and What I Lived For by Henry David Thoreau, the idea of simplicity is seen all throughout. Not only simplicity, but also how technology takes away from a person's way of experiencing nature and everything around us. Simplicity, 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 I say. Let your affairs be as two or three and not 100 or 1,000. Instead of a million, count half a dozen and keep your accounts on your thumbnail. This was said by Thoreau. And what he was meaning was, Why complicate it? Why count a million when you can count a dozen? Why add technology into your life? Why just add all this chaos that isn't needed? It adds stress. It adds just wanting to be in a place and thinking, what is everyone else doing? Now, the thing with that is, some people won't say that's a negative thing, because there's people who move to New York because of the chaos, who rather be in a city where there's 1,000 people instead of a town with 500 people. There's people who like to go out and they could be having the time of their life, but they're not really enjoying themselves unless they're checking their phone to see what everyone else is doing, to see if me, myself, and I is having a better time than everyone else on social media. I think the idea that technology doesn't just affect our social life, but also our health and emotions, is well known by many, but a lot of people don't know how drastic and how this problem is increasing over time. And not just to teenagers, but younger people too, because of the fact that a cell phone is given to a 9-year-old, and maybe for a good reason. Your parents are divorced and you need a phone to be able to contact one or the other. But technology brings so many other things, like social media, like not only bullying face to face, but bullying once you get home. When before, when there was no technology, you would get bullied at school, but your safe place was once you left school, there was no way the bullies could get you. Now you get to school, you're bullied, you get home, you open up your computer, you open up your iPad, you open up your phone, and there it is again. You can't run from it like you could before. According to an article in Chicago Tribune, written by Donna Vickroy, a new study links anxiety, severe depression, suicide attempts, and suicide with the rise in use of smartphones, tablets, and other devices. Everyone in the world feels this connection to our phones, to our technology, to social media, because of the fact that we feel that if we're not on it all the time, we're missing something important. We're missing our friends inviting us to go to a party, or we're missing just seeing everyone else at a party that I couldn't go to. And because of this, depression, anxiety, suicide attempts, suicide rates have gone way up, because you stay in and then everyone else is at a party. How are you going to feel? You're not going to feel good. You know you're missing out on something. You know that the next day when you wake up, or later on in the day, you're going to have to hear about this. You're going to have to hear, OMG, at the party, this and this happened. Or OMG, even when you miss school, OMG, at school, this and this happened. Like, you're lacking the feeling that everyone else is having, and you think that it's so important. So what do? You are on social media looking out of it and being like, OMG, I know I saw this and that. But in the long run, you're not benefiting at all. In Health and Happiness by Robert D. Putnam, Putnam is merely trying to illustrate that social connections have profound links with psychological well-being. He stresses on the idea that the same years that social connectedness has been declining, depression and suicide have been increasing, and he doesn't believe this to be a coincidence. Do you think that this is a coincidence? Do you think that the more we are on our social media, the more we are on our phones, not enjoying our surroundings, we get happier? Putnam doesn't. He specifically says, the more integrated we are with our community, the less likely we are to experience colds, heart attacks, strokes, cancer, depression, and premature death of all sorts. It's been proven that the more you go to church, the more you have gatherings at your houses, or go to clubs or events in your town, the happier you're going to be. You interact more, you get the feel of how others are being. And from personal experience, I know that when I'm feeling down, I don't just look at what other people are doing, how other people are having fun, but I like to go outside, take a walk with my brother or my mom, or even, yes, use technology and text a friend I haven't talked to in a while, hey, you want to hang out, and just go out, enjoy, see what's new around my town, just take a bite to eat, and just enjoy, not be so stuck and focused on something I can't control in social media. Now, where's the positive to this? If we all know depression, getting sick, death, suicide isn't a positive. The positive is what I just hinted at. You get to communicate with people you might not have communicated in a while. You can be feeling down because of social media, but use it to your advantage. Use social media to your advantage and say, hey, let's go out. And just, you might even notice social media is what's affecting me right now. And you might even notice if I put my technology, my device in good use, this might turn the other way around and it might actually end up helping me. If you can't go out, pick up the phone, call your friend, call your mom, call a family member who you haven't talked to in a while. FaceTime is this amazing thing where you can see what the other person's doing, the other person's reactions. When you're texting someone, you don't know what tone they're using. You put your own tone into it. Someone might say something joking around sarcastically, and you might get mad because you're on the other side of the screen, not knowing what the person's intentions are. You call them, you can hear them. You FaceTime them, you can see them. Albert Einstein once said, "I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interactions in the world. The world will have a generation of idiots." Is this true? Is this not? In my opinion, technology has helped us in many ways. It's helped us advance since years ago. Not only in devices, but also in resources that we need and use every day. But one also has to see how technology isn't helping. Especially now in our society, we're not enjoying real life. We're not making memories. We think that we can make memories through an app, but we're wrong. We're not idiots, like Albert Einstein says. We're not idiots for not noticing how technology is affecting us. For example, I know technology doesn't help me. I know social media isn't helping me in the way it should be. It's affecting me most of the time in a negative way. I'm not really connected with my family at times when I could be talking to my mom instead I'm up in my room on my phone. This isn't good. And I know that, and I'm not doing anything. That doesn't mean I'm an idiot. It's just our society, the fact that everyone just wants to feel a connection with everyone. You want to be talking with this girl, with your friend, with this guy, with your aunt, with your uncle, just anyone you can. You want to feel like you belong. Now again, does this make you an idiot? No, not at all. It's society. It's what has become. But we also need to try and make the best of technology. We have to lean more to the positive than the negative, although right now it doesn't. Like I said in the beginning, it's crucial to see how technology is affecting communities, both negative and positive. I hope this podcast made you realize how technology is affecting our communities, and that this didn't make you even more biased, that this didn't make you see all the positives or just the negatives, but that you stayed on the idea that it's both. Not one, not the other. And I hope that you pinpoint all the negatives and you try to increase the positives. But I hope that you don't get blindsided also. Thank you for listening.